The big Japanese disaster keeps rocking the global economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. We capped last week with the disappointing news that our economic growth in the U.S. has slipped back to anemic. Today, we have a better idea why as the picture comes slowly into focus. Some leading financial analysts are now putting a big share of the blame on the big March earthquake and tsunami in Japan. We've got Rod Smith on the line with us now. He's chief investment strategist at Riverfront Investment Group. So our GDP comes out last week, and I was scratching my head, why is the recovery slowing down again? And now there's this pointing to the Japan ripple effect. Minus Japan, how strong is our recovery?
Well, even minus Japan, you have, I think, the issue of the spike that we saw in gasoline prices, which took the wind out of the consumer's sails a little bit. But quite a lot of it, I think, is the global effect of both Japan and, indeed, China slowing.
And specifically, why are we still feeling these effects?
First of all, the obvious one, that the major earthquake and tsunami shut down parts of Japan which were key to production. But, very critically, the world in the last 20 years has moved to an incredibly tight supply chain management system. And so any little kink in the chain, and very few people have enough inventory, and so you get bottlenecks in production building up.
And I hear a lot of it is about the microchip, a shortage of these circuits that go in everything from cars to iPads.
Japan is one of the masters of making things smaller and smaller. And so to the extent that Japan is unable to produce enough of them, yes, it disrupts everybody. But the world will quickly figure out the issues of supply chain. Actually, we have been buying and increasing our investment in Korea because Korea is capable of making a lot of this stuff. And if Japan can't bring this stuff back online, you'll find Korea will boost up pretty quickly.
Rod Smith with Riverfront Investment Group. Thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Two of the biggest corporate backers of soccer around the world are Coca-Cola and Adidas. All told, sponsors spend billions on the World Cup, but today they've gone public with concerns over bribery allegations in the sport. Some are saying the corruption charges have sent soccer and its governing body, known as FIFA, into a crisis. From the Europe Desk, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Almost half of the committee that runs FIFA stands accused of corruption. It's alleged they took bribes before deciding which country should host the Soccer World Cup. Coca-Cola and Adidas are clearly alarmed. They have much at stake. They've invested hundreds of millions of dollars in world soccer. The two sponsors describe the bribery allegations as distressing and bad for the game. Alex Finn is a consultant advising soccer teams.
They are concerned because if FIFA is damaged, the World Cup is damaged, and their association with that is contaminated.
Coca-Cola has called on FIFA to resolve the crisis as fast as possible, but Finn does not believe that either Coke or Adidas will be able to kick their sponsorship. FIFA is one thing, but the actual soccer is another. It's just too big to ignore. The World Cup final is the most watched sporting event on earth. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Holiday's over. Back to the numbers. Wall Street kicks off a new week of trading, trying to reverse a four-week losing streak. We can hope. The Dow did gain 38 points on Friday. European stocks are in the green today, up around 1% in London to as much as 2% higher in Frankfurt.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. By IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
So, Memorial Day is behind us now, and traditionally it's the start of Wall Street's summer rally. Even if there's really not much to it. Alan Sloan is here to set us straight. He's senior editor-at-large for Fortune magazine. Greetings, Alan.
Good morning, Bob.
So what is this that the summer rally is all just a myth?
Well, it turns out if you look at the numbers, which the guys at Stock Traders Almanac showed me, for two-thirds of every season for the last 40 years, the stock market has risen. But the least big average increase is for the summer. So the summer, in fact, has been the weakest rally or increase of any of the seasons.
There must be some kernel of truth to this. Where did this myth come from then? Is there any truth to it at all?
Well, the myth came from the fact that back in the day when you needed a broker to do business and people went away for the summer and were out of communication, the brokers needed something to sell. So they sold you the summer rally. Hey, Bob, you're going to go away. You don't want to miss the summer rally. Why don't you buy something? Of course, it turns out there's also a spring rally, a winter rally, and a fall rally.
So this is like selling new Coke then? Why should we ever trust stockbrokers if they're just going to lie about this to encourage everybody to buy?
Well, it's not even like it's a lie. It's a sales pitch because there's a 2 in 3 chance that stocks will actually rise over the summer. And Bob, you wouldn't want to miss the rally.
Well, I don't want to have too much of a chuckle over this, Alan, because I'm assuming also that there are also contrarians out there who invest against this summer rally idea knowing that it's a fake.
The one thing you know is that when Wall Street invests for itself, they take every piece of information they have and they use it to try to make money. I don't think they're spreading the myth of the summer rally to bet against it. But then again, who knows?
Alan Sloan is senior editor at large at Fortune Magazine. Thank you, Alan.
You're welcome, Bob.
And since we're setting the record straight, somebody in Indiana picked up a piece of paper from the ground and noticed it was a receipt from a tire store in Joplin, Missouri. We're talking 525 miles downwind of Joplin, so the finders quickly contacted a storm researcher to report their amazing discovery. Look what the wind blew in. The Purdue University expert figured the paper traveled more than twice as far as the longest distance ever for debris from a storm. Except, it turns out this incredible discovery wasn't credible. Seems it belonged to someone who'd been visiting the area. This person recalled doing business in Joplin earlier this month and then simply left the receipt behind the other day in Indiana. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Our friends at Freakonomics Radio have come up with a simple way to determine whether something should be illegal or not. It's called the daughter test.
Well, that wouldn't be so bad. I mean, I'd rather have her be, you know, a great economist. But if she had to be something, a professional poker player wouldn't be a bad thing for her to turn out to be.
I'm Tess Vigeland, online poker and other illicit trades. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.